Om Shanti. Welcome back from your picnic in Dedi Jenki Park and enjoying the fruit and the conversation and the churning topic of what has kept you in Gyan. So this flows nicely into our conversation on the stage now, which I'm sure you'll get a lot out of. Some very amazing souls are here. From Australia, we have Brother Jeff, who's been in Gyan for 40 years. When I started my spiritual journey in 2005, I met Jeff at the retreat centre, and he spent half his time living in India doing service in computer media and graphic design, and is currently also helping in the art department. And I would say that Jeff is very, very dedicated to Bubba's service and a very generous soul, always going out of his way to help those around him, and a real stable force where he's positioned. And so welcome, Jeff. And in the middle we have Brother Jitu. He has come to Bubba and received sustenance from a very young age. He came when he was 3 years of age, and he's now been with Bubba for 33 years and has a great passion for helping young people in particular. So he heads the Department of the Youth Wing here in Madhuban, and he's based in Pandavbhavan, and he also has studied greatly. He has a master's degree and also a doctorate as well, which he might elaborate on. So from the time I've known Jitu, which has been very brief, as you might see, a beautiful glow of energy around him, and I think that comes from being in Madhuban and also from the amazing soul that you must be. And we have our very lovely interviewer, Sister Linda. And she is from the south of the UK. And you will see that Linda has such a warm personality and brings joy to every gathering that she's in. So I'm sure she'll be able to get the juicy extracts from our amazing guests tonight. And the topic, leading on, and so would you like to know the topic, everyone? It helped to remind you. But continuing on from our conversation earlier, it is talking about the strength that has carried us on this journey to now and into the future. So over to you. Enjoy.
Well, thank you. Om Shanti. So this is an honour to be up here with two sparkling brothers. They're both sparkling. Yeah, I'm sparkling also. So the three of us are sparkling up here. So it's an interesting topic because our journey hasn't ended. So it is nice to explore this, and so I wanted to start with the beginning, because I think it's very important how we started our journey has a connection with the sustenance that we take that keeps us in Gyan. So I would like to ask both of you, but I'll start with Jeff, if you would like to just briefly share how you came into Gyan, and because I'd like to explore the not just how what sustains you in Gyan, but also I feel that what sustains you in Gyan has a deep connection with your speciality. So I'd like to see if we can get something out of that. So Jeff, would you like to just share how you came into Gyan?
Okay, Om Shanti, everyone. So I came to Bubba when I was 23 in Bondi in Sydney, Australia. So I don't know, Bondi is a famous beach in Sydney, in Australia. And actually, 1 month after I came into Gyan, Krishna came in Bondi Beach as well. So because Daddy Prakashmani and Mahini, little Mahini, were touring Australia a month after I came to Baba. And so I don't know if many of you know little Mahini. She used to go into trance a lot. You know, Krishna used to come, sort of Baba would pull those sanskaras and, you know, they'd be dancing and things like that. So, but I came to Baba because I was a bit lost who I was and my mind. I wanted to control and discipline my mind because I couldn't focus much. I mean, I was working, you know, I was in a relationship, but there was something missing. I could see, even in, this is 1985, so I could see back then that the world wasn't how it should be, you know, that things were going wrong. And so I wanted to find out something, some truth. So my Lakic mother gave me a pamphlet of Raj Yoga. So I ended up giving her the course as well. But so I found out that the center was only a 6-minute walk from my flat. So I called up and signed up for the course. And of course, when I knocked on the door to take the first lesson, the sister said, "Oh, welcome back after 5,000 years. And I didn't know what she was talking about. But when I look back on that, you know, Baba is very, very clever, you know, because in that first lesson, I didn't know it, but he'd already hooked me, you know. Because when we come to Baba, we're pretty gross in our awareness, you know. But on that first night, you know, when I was listening to the course, and then when the sister was giving drishti, I sort of was having this experience, and the whole room went red, and I was sort of like looking around going, what's going on, you know? And then I looked down and the sister was giving me drishti, and I looked into her eyes and they were like tunnels going to infinity, you know? And I didn't know it, but Baba was sort of like doing a little bit of surgery. And because after that lesson, I gave up smoking without even thinking about it. So, I mean, it's pretty amazing. So I came back for the second lesson, and by the third lesson, or the fourth lesson, by the cycle, I think I was the only one left out of about 8 people. And but when if I look back on it, the cycle, the lesson of the cycle was the thing that got me consciously, you know, because when I was listening to it, I could hear all of these. It's like, you know, there's that saying, you hear the cogs ticking over, you hear everything clicking into place. So that's what happened on that lesson. And from that lesson on, I was there, I was done, Baba got me. So, of course, straight after the course, I was coming to Murali the next day and doing Amrit Vela, and I bought every book in the centre, and I read every book in the centre. So from that point on, I was a very, very regular student. Every day, I haven't missed the Murali for like 40 years. Probably only missed a few Amrit Velas, and for other things as well. It was the discipline, because actually, from this life was a little bit of a funny birth, because I was actually born into the military. I was born at a weapons research facility, and
Lockheed
birth. Yeah, I was not. Well, I mean, we are Baba's army, so I am in the spiritual army. So, but I was born at a secret Air Force base. It was a restricted Air Force base where they did sort of testing and things like that. And so, my whole birth, growing up, was around Air Force bases and that discipline. And then I joined the Air Force 3 days after high school, and then for a couple of years, you know. But then I became a little bit disillusioned after that, and I didn't know who I was, and that was the start of a journey to try and find. And of course, when the time was right, Baba got me. So,
Jitubai, would you like to share your story?
Thank you. Om Shanti. I am very fortunate soul actually, because when I was 3 years old, my parents got this knowledge. And I came with my mom, firstly in our center. And I would like to share you about my first meeting with Bab Dada. When I was 10 years old, the whole family came here to meet Bab Dada, because I was traveling Mount Abu every year, but as a kid, not for Baba Milan. And that at the age of 10, we first came with a family. And at that time, Bab Dada gave a blessing to our family. My family is my mother, father, and younger brother. Baba gave a blessing that this family is ek bal, ek bharosa. One power, one faith family. And that becomes strength to our life, my life, my family's life. And up till now, we experience that power and that faith of Baba giving us direction. And when I was a kid, then not much deeper knowledge of this Raj Yoga and something. But I like to do meditation and do studies at that time. But after 10th class, I had many ideas about my career. I was searching how is my career is fulfilled and what is career for better for me. At that time, I applied for Baba Atomic Research Center and also Air Force for some creative and some energetic career. But when I came in Madhuban for Seva, then I observed here that every Madhuban Nivasi, including Dadis, are here, or we know Dadis or Madhuban Nivasi by their values and their personalities. And that attracted me to be Madhuban Nivasi in Pandav Bhavan. At that time, Dadiji gave one class, and that was turning point of my life actually. Dadiji said, lot of souls are here. Very few souls understand Baba, recognize Baba as a God. And very few souls will reach in Madhuban. And very, very, very few souls, just one or two souls, they had a chance to dedicate their life in especially Pandav Bhavan. And that influenced me a lot. And so I took decision to dedicate my life in Pandav Bhavan. And now in Pandav Bhavan, since 33 years, I am doing seva of especially making tolis. Do you know tolis? Tolis. So, yes. I couldn't make even a tea in my life before came here. But in Baba's home, everything learned by Baba and with brothers, Atam Bhai and Dadis. And also, I have one tendency that means I applied myself, or I think that is my negative point. I am not able to say no to anyone. But that tendency in Brahmin life is became my strength. Haji ka part. So I am very fortunate. So I am always ready to obey our senior's order. I took senior's order as a Baba's order, and that take me this Brahmin life up till now very successfully and very closely. And especially got very much love from Dadis and all Madhuban Nivasis, because And since childhood, so got sustenance from all sisters and dadis from childhood up till now.
Okay, so brother mentioned that you have a degree and you have, so can you just fill that little bit in, that how did you manage that when you were a VK? How did that happen?
When I was surrendered, I am doing bachelor in science actually, but not completed. In last year, I took decision to dedicate my life. So there is something in my thinking that I missed something. But after took opportunity in as a Madhuban Nivasi, I have lot of feelings to do something better for youngsters actually. So I joined youth wing of Brahma Kumaris, and I am now headquarter coordinator of youth wing, doing many projects and trainings for youngsters. And so I feel I need some speciality to conversation with youngsters. So done a master's in counseling. And after that master's in counseling, there was one program in Delhi. They observed me and they gave honorary doctorate in counseling also. So that degree is from Laukik Duniya, but that is doing seva in our Laukik field also. And especially when my experience with Dadi Prakash Maniji, can I share? Dadi Prakash Maniji, one day called me, just me and Dadi Prakash Maniji in one room. And Dadiji told me that, why you want to surrender in Toli Kitchen, Toli Department, why you want to surrender? I gave answer, Dadiji, with Toli Department, I am able to get blessings and able to do seva, able to do Baba's service, various answers. But Dadi told me, give me one answer that will make the Dadiji happy. So I just thought a while, and then two answers came in my mind. First answer, I told Dadiji. So Dadiji, there are lot of pilgrimage, in temple, there are pujaris. Pujaris. Kya kehte? Priest. There are many priests are there. But some special priest who are able to offer bhoga to deities, a special one. And I had the fortune that I am making bhog for Baba, and Baba is accepting in Sakar on this planet. So I am very fortunate. That was my answer, and that they are very pleased and just take me in her, hug me. And Dadiji told, second thing, Dadiji told me that, if you have thought that your journey or your life becomes example to another minimum 10 people, then you should take decision to surrender, not only for you. And that will guide me this up till now, that my life is observed by many people, and at least 10 people wants to be surrendered by seeing my life, and that is inspiration also, and that is my strength also.
So what was your age? What was your age? Lokik age?
No,
when this was, when you surrendered?
19 years. I was 19 years old.
19 years old.
Surrender.
Okay. Yes. So did you go to university and study?
No, open university.
Open university. Okay. So
first, I am doing graduation there. Then I was surrendered and done a master's by Open University.
Okay, okay. Good. Thank you very much for filling those details in. So, Jeff, what do you feel has sustained you so far? What, as this is the topic, what do you feel has sustained you? You mentioned that the cycle was something that you really attracted you. So, would you like to share what sustained you anyway so far?
well, for me, I mean, I guess having a bit of a disciplined life. I mean, I guess because the family, like all the three males in the family, all were in the Air Force. So my mother also worked as a civilian contractor when I was born in the Air Force as well, in that sort of like base. So I think she instilled discipline from a very early age. You know, when we were young, we had to do the dishes, you know, we had to help around the yard, we had to do all of these things too. And I think that gave me a good foundation of discipline. And of course, when you go in the military, you have to be disciplined. Otherwise, you get disciplined, sort of by the senior officers, you know. So, but when I came to Baba, and but for a few years while I was out of the Air Force, any discipline was sort of like gone for a while. But when I came to Baba, those sanskaras always came back, and the regularity of discipline that Baba gives us, like Murli, Amritvela, Yog, like a constant every day, this became my new discipline. And that has sustained me for like 40 years, and including evening yoga, which I remember one of the very first meetings, I think it was in 1986, Baba mentioned that evening yoga was only second to Amritvela, you know. So I decided to do that as my discipline. And so for me also, I mean, the knowledge of the cycle, once I had got the discipline, and I had a very long honeymoon with Baba for a couple of years when I came to Baba, because for the first 2 years, I received a lot of visions. I mean, it was very strange. I mean, a lot of them were of the golden age. Some were jumping out of the body and seeing the future, like straight away. Some were seeing other things as well. One was about the cycle, how the old cycle changes into the new cycle. I mean, that was a huge thing. But when Baba gives you something, there's always a message behind it, and that's what you have to decode, you know. So for me also, because I had, in the Air Force, I was doing electronics, so I had this a little bit of an inquiring intellect. So in my second year of Gyan, someone handed me a book about things that archaeologists have found around the world that don't fit into any normal sort of story that they give about human history, you know, because we know, obviously, the real human history. But they, so I read this book and I found it fascinating, you know, that here are things found about almost to do with technology that was there in the past at the end of the Silver Age, you know, that they found, but because they don't know where it comes from, and they don't want to think it's aliens, or they don't want to think any of this stuff, they just push it aside and bury it, you know. But anyway, I started reading more about these things, and that helped me inquire a lot more about the cycle. But for me, for 40 years, and especially in the last 5 years since COVID started, because I got locked down at the retreat center in Australia, and I remember the Borg message Baba gave at the beginning of COVID that, you know, this time is for you, you know, to make effort. You know, it's for you to do. And he gave directions about 1 hour in the evening and 1 hour in the morning, you know, things like that. He gave these directions, you know. So I thought, okay, let me do that, you know. So we all started doing it at the retreat center, you know, for 1 hour in the evening especially. And but of course, by about 5 or 6 months, I was the only one doing 1 hour. But I kept it up. I kept up that discipline. And, you know, I saw the greatest change in 1 year that I have ever seen after doing that disciplined yoga for 1 hour in the evening. I saw all these sanskaras dissolve, like disappear, you know. And so for me, the discipline of doing the regular yoga, the Murali, everything like that, has sustained me right up until this point and still does, you know. I'm a big fan of the Murali. I love the Murali Dar Father and the Murali, you know. I'm always going into it. I can read Hindi. I can't speak it very well, but I can read it. So I inquire a lot, you know. So anyway, that inquisitive intellect itself. And but now, of course, doing service, finding new ways to do service and things like that also helps me, sort of like sustains me as well.
Thank you. Very interesting. So Jitubhai, what's we can clap at the end. So Jitubhai, what sustains you then? Because you spoke quite a bit about blessings. So would you like to share what's sustaining you?
Actually, all of us have blessings of this Brahmin life. Baba gave us this life, and we experiencing day by day, each day, we experiencing blessings from Baba. But speak about strength, on the outside world, they are talking about outer strength, just like relationship, just like achievement, and many, many things. But in our spiritual life, we need actually spiritual strength. And Baba is polishing our spiritual strength. Baba has flipped my life by saying, of course, all of your life by saying, strength is inside us. Strength is waiting for us to explore. And that sentence flipped my life, and I dedicated my life. And just like the sister says, after dedicating, all of you are observing Madhuban Nivasis, right? And outsidely, just we see that all Madhuban Nivasis or all Brahmins are very relaxed. White dress, relaxed, calm, and just glorify with meditating. But actually, in fact, I will say, this Brahman life is not so smooth. Brahman life is just like a spiritual marathon. And nobody would say that this marathon is on hilly area. And we are running barefoot, in words, actually. Because all ups and downs are here. But if we have a strength inside us, then we will conquer all the things. Just I mentioned earlier, the main strength is in my life is one power, one trust. And that would guide me a lot. In each and every incident, I would like to share just a recent incident of my life. My Laukik father got a heart attack last month, 1 month before. And after he got attack, we made decision to took him for bypass surgery. And on the table, his heart got burst, heart ruptures. At that time, my brother called me, this incident has happened and you have to come here immediately. I went by car from here. In between, I told my mother, this something happened, you have to give Sakash. And you can't imagine, on Ahmedabad airport, I was meditating in Amrut Vela with Baba. My brother was meditating with Baba in front of operation theater, and my mother was meditating with Baba in our home. Three people are three different situations. And there are many complications. Any doctor has no hope for recovering, fully recovering. But magic happened, and Papa is all right now. He is doing seva in our home. But most important thing, all of us, my mother, me and my brothers, stage was super stable at that time because of only ek bal ek bharosa. We have one faith on one God, one Baba, and that will help our life stable at that time. This is the our strength. And second strength of Madhuban Nivasi, actually, the strength of purity. Purity is not only celibacy, but purity is non-dependency. Purity means not expecting anything from anyone. See, purity means not, I would say, influenced by anyone. Purity means only Baba and me or in our life. And that helps many, many times when my relations with anyone got some clashes, got some ups and downs, then that pure thought makes me powerful at that time. And that is my second strength, I would say, purity, our Brahman life strength. And third, seva. I gave this life for seva, not for me. Seva for all around, all whole world. So whenever I got the opportunity to do seva for any way, other than my departmental seva, other than my routine seva, I am always ready to do anything for yajna and for anything for seva. And that would give me better help and extra power to do in critical situation and to guide other peoples also. Because their seva ka bal, force of service, that would remain me very calm and composed in any situation. And of course, Baba is always with us, and this Baba is our real strength. Nobody in this world, nobody in this whole kalpa have that power with Baba in this form. We observe, we experience only in this Sangam Yug, in this Yug of Baba's power, and that will help. That is the Brahman Jivan's foundation, I would say. Not only imaginary, but practically we are feeling that much help from Baba and that much force from Baba in Sangam Yug.
Lovely, thank you very much. So, so up to date, what kind of things now are you using this strength to be able to do transformation? Because, you know, when people look from the outside, they think you're probably already perfect. And but we know on the inside there's still inner work to do. So how are you using, especially you, Ekbal Barosa, how are you using that to transform?
Our daily routine given by Baba is perfect to make every soul perfect. Doing Amrut Vela, powerful Amrut Vela, is the best medicine of all diseases, all weaknesses, to develop ourselves, to conquer the Amrut, powerful Amrut Vela is there. Just like brother said, Murli is our tonic to handle every situation. Every ups and down can be handled by Murli. And if we have interest in Murli, then we will able to do anything in this world. But we need interest, not just listening, not just reading, but we must have interest in Baba's Murli. And then Dadi Guljar ji said, because we are doing seva in kitchen, So kitchen is primarily karmana seva. Work only work. Because when I was surrendered, no Gyan Sarovar, no Shantivan was there. And all seva done in Pandav Bhavan. So we came in Pandav Bhavan Toli kitchen morning 5 o'clock and leave that kitchen after 7 o'clock evening. Nearly 12 to 14 hours in kitchen.
No rest,
only kitchen. And once we asked Dadi Guljarji, ki how can we do yoga? Because we have no time to meditating in Sangathani or in group. So Dadi said, your each and every act with connect, if we, you connect each and every act with Baba, then your yoga will automatically done. Just I would like to share one incident. Once we are making toli and Dadi, you know, murmura, kya kahenge usko? Rice flakes. We are making toli of rice flakes. And Dadi Prakash Maniji and Dadi Ishu came to my kitchen and stand beside me, behind me. And just I observed that Dadi told the another brother, just keep that murmura, the rice flakes in your hand. Some rice flakes was there. So that brother keep the flakes in his hand, and Dadi asked me, what is this? So I just got shocked. I thought something mistake taken by done by me. And Dadi asked me, what is this? Dadi Ishuradi also, Dadi say, what is this? So Dadi said, these are rice flakes. Dadi said, no, these are not rice flakes. See, just small amount of rice flakes. With this rice flakes, Sri Krishna gave kingdom to Sudama with such small rice flakes. I think you are not aware of that story. But that time I thought, such a small thing and such a general thing, Dadi connect with such a higher position, and that is jnana, that is yoga. If we have this intensity in each and every karma, each and every deed, then we have meditation, we have karma yogi. At that time Guljar Dadi explained in such a way, such a beautiful way. And if Amrut Vela, Murli, then Seva with Baba's remembrance, then at last, sum up with Baba. Plus, minus, whatever happened in our life, sum up with Baba, then go to sleep. These are our routine. And I think these are routine for our Brahman lives, just primary, basic things that need Brahman life. If we have we need extra fortune or extra something from Baba, from our Brahman life, then we have to do other than these things. We have to spend more time. We have to acquire some materials or say experiences. When I was surrendered, sister, I made every question and answers list of Murli, and I had a long notebook of more than 2000 questions and 2000 answers of our Murli. And now if anything just in our mind conflict, then I would turn a page and just question and answer. I got my answer there. So these are the purusha, these are the efforts which need extra effort other than this routine, and then we will develop ourselves as Baba's diamond or Baba's pearl.
Yeah, that's excellent. That's excellent, because then this, when you share this, then everyone else can also take benefit and also practice something like this. So, Jeff, what would you answer to that question?
About current efforts to sustain. For me, I think it's experimentation in yoga. I always remember for the last 3 to 4 years since the end of COVID, I remember I read, the 21st of January, 1969, the first Avyat Bhavdada, Because, of course, it was a bit of a shock that Brahma Baba went to the subtle regions, but they asked Brahma Baba what it was like, to leave the body and go to the subtle regions, and he said it was like changing your clothes and walking into another room. And to me, of course, because Brahma Baba was so avyakt at the end of his effort making, that transition to the subtle regions was just absolutely natural. Like just leaving the body, walking out of the body and walking into the subtle regions sort of thing, and changing the costume into a costume of light. So I've been actually doing that in yoga, not actually trying to leave the body, but to actually see the subtle regions and even the soul world actually as another room, but another room in time and space, like dimensional. That it's not so far away that we can't get there, that it's actually right there, And I've had some pretty amazing experiences. It's like there is a barrier, a dimensional barrier of time and space, because time is also dimensional. But it's also when you get to a certain stage and you can sustain it for a little bit, you can almost see beyond that barrier. You can almost see like the other side or the other room. It's quite fascinating, actually. And I think this is my thoughts. I think this is what Baba means by, at the end, you'll be able to see the trees of heaven, because you won't see them with these eyes. These are impure eyes in an impure body in an impure world. But we'll be able to see it like with the third eye, as if it's like really there. But it's like breaking down that sort of like dimensional barrier, so it's actually right there, So I've been experimenting with that, and out of that, I've been having some really nice experiences. So I think for me, it's experimenting with yoga, experimenting with the meditation and going through the three worlds. Because in, like I said, in the first 2 years, I had a lot of visions. And in 1986, I went to the subtle regions a few times to see everything. I was standing in Shankarpuri and looking up at the soul world. And then I was in Brahmapuri and Bhavdada was there, and there was a whole lot of children there. And we went through this whole sort of like scenario, things like that. So I thought, okay, after I don't have visions anymore and I don't have that desire for visions anymore, but I want to experience it consciously, like in meditation, in yoga. So that's been my effort for the past few years.
So is this something that you make happen? Do you like consciously think of that before you start yoga, or when you're starting in your meditation, you're consciously thinking that? Or is it something that you're pulled into?
You can actually, for me, it's consciously thinking it, but because even while talking to you, I can think of the subtle region now. I can actually almost experience Bhavdada there, because it's there all the time for us, but we just have to. I mean, our thoughts travel, like Baba says, at the speed of light, faster than the speed of light, because it only takes a second to go beyond to another dimension. I mean, it only takes a split second for Shiv Baba to come from soul world to here, and then back again, so he can travel in Baba's often said, you know, the soul is the fastest rocket, you know. So, but as long as we think about it, if we start thinking about it, if we sort of picture it in our minds, but not using the imagination, it's quite different than imagination. But it's there, and it's always there for us to try and experience, and that's what Baba's waiting for. You know, he's waiting for us to experiment and experience that, you know, because it's always there waiting for us. Our body of light is there waiting for us, you know, to experience. So,
do you see yourself there, or?
I don't see myself, because that would mean I'd be out of behind, like I don't know if you know a video game. There's something called a third person perspective. You're above the shoulder and you can see the avatar sort of walking. It's not like that. I mean, because we're in our light body, so we're seeing it from a first person perspective, you know, so I'm not seeing my own light body, but I know I'm there in it, if you know what I mean.
Okay. So do you feel that that's, I mean, Baba has been mentioning so much recently that this is the future service, that it should be through the mind. So do you feel this has a connection, this seva that you're doing now? Because people all around the world are receiving visions. I mean, many, many big gurus, Western gurus, are getting visions and touchings of seeing angels or light bodies or points of light. Some are describing that as aliens, because they don't know what they are. But do you feel, because I'm trying to get to the connection between your speciality, Baba, and our speciality might be a Lokic talent, but now Baba is inspiring us to use the mind. So do you feel this connection, because we can all do this. So do you feel this connection with your speciality, this experience?
It's interesting. I think they're actually a little bit separate. Okay. I do, you know, I have felt sometimes a little bit flat because I've been working in the office. You do long hours on the computer, so your eyes get tired, you know, your intellect gets tired, because the software I use is quite mathematically sort of, it requires the intellect to work a lot. And but what I found is that rather than, and it took me back to 1990s actually, what I found is rather than trying to go to Baba and get the power for myself, I've actually started thinking about the situation of the world and all the souls in the world, and then start sort of like sending out those good wishes. And I tell you, it really refreshes you, you know. I mean, it's like what Baba says, the more you sort of like explore that area, you automatically get all the blessings and the power from Baba in order to do that. And that's what I've experienced, you know, even after a long day, say on the computer or doing service, you know. If you do that, you don't feel tired, because you're giving to souls who are in really... If you read some of the things that are happening in the world, it's phenomenal that, you know, the world hasn't ended yet. So, I mean, they're really in dire sort of like, you know, trouble, both spiritually, mentally, you know, physically, you know, and Baba's, like you said, mentioning this all the time, to do that service. Even though we can't see what good it does, you know, what benefit it has, what you just said there, I haven't heard, so... It's obviously, you know, the service that we do spiritually and sending out those good wishes to the world obviously has an effect, you know, and Baba knows that effects, which is why he keeps mentioning it, you know.
Would you like to add something to that? Because you were talking, well, you were sharing that Daddy was the handful of rice, and that the power of your yoga power. Would you like to add something that you're doing now in that respect?
I would like to share one experience with Bab Dada. Is it right? Once actually at the Bab Dada's program is Shantivan, our team, Pandavan team, will do their seva for management of hall, sitting arrangement, actually, with Sesi Ben. So once, we were giving service there, trying to arrange every person's specific seats. But all of you know, everyone wants to be front seat. So one brother, he is my good friend actually, came to me and asked a seat for his one of the guests. But we are not able to give that specific seat to him. So there was some hot conversation and some heaviness in all the things. That got me much heavier at that time. At the time of Murli, Babaji is giving Murli to us, but I was lot heavy at that time, not so good stage actually. And just I had thoughts, sequence of thoughts, what seva I am doing. No one recognized my seva, no one is appreciating my seva, and everyone ignoring our seva. Because we had that seva, nearly we entered hall 11 o'clock in morning and departed, left the hall at night 12 o'clock. Means nearly 12 hours we were in that hall. So lot of confusion, lot of heaviness in my mind. And after Murli, you know, there were queue up in front of Baba, and some people able to take drishti from Baba. We had seva there. We had to make a queue behind stage. After queue finishes, sister came to us and told us, you can also join that queue. There was no program of taking drishti of our people, but incidentally, a sister told us. Everyone eager to join that queue, but I was some heaviness, so how can I go in front of Baba in that heavy heart? That thought were coming. But at last, I joined that queue and just went in front of Baba. At the time when I was in front of Baba, Baba gave lot of loveful drishti, very drishti full of love, and just took his hand, take the toli and put the toli in my mouth and said, gave blessing and said, Baba said, you are doing seva lovefully by heart. You are doing seva by heart, so you are getting love from everyone's heart. So I was very much happy, very much loveful. No one appreciated, but God appreciated me. God knows my seva. God knows me. So very, very happy. But at the time of return journey from Shantivan to Mount Abu, I was just thinking, Baba gave me this blessing, but very deeper in that knowledge, in that blessing. Baba said, you are doing seva by heart, so getting love from all hearts of all peoples. But today, something I use as brain rather than heart, that's why this heaviness maybe happened. So there is blessing also, and there was just guidance also from Baba. This experience guide us that Baba is watching each and every people, each and every soul. He guides us also, each and every soul, but we are not able to connect with Baba because of our thought heaviness. And so, if we need direct touching and actual touching from Baba, then we does not need anyone. We does not need any situation. We can direct communicate with Baba, but just we need the clean heart. And if we have a clean heart, then we can get direct touching with Baba. And Baba is sustaining all our souls to the new world now.
So, last question I'd like to ask both of you. What yukti would you like to share with, in essence, to help? Baba says, last go fast. There's a lot of first-timers here today. So what would you like to share with them that would be to help them to move forward?
I can only say what's worked for me is the regular discipline, and especially taking interest in the Murali. Churn the knowledge, but have that yoga, take time out for the yoga. Don't just treat yoga as a sideline that you have to do, you know. Even though your mind might wander, like I've sat in yoga and sort of like had some concentration for like 10 minutes, and then of course the next 10 minutes I thought, wow, what have I been thinking about, you know? But don't give up, because I've seen, I've seen it a lot, that souls are not getting the experience they desire, so they get up and leave and go do something, you know? But don't do that. Stay and find out. I mean, you don't have to be heavy with yourself, but just stay and have patience with yourself. Have patience with the yoga process, because it doesn't come all at once, you know. But you gotta at least give the time for that, and give the time for your mind to actually focus and your intellect to focus in that direction. And then you'll find that, you know, you start getting some really nice experiences, you know. So
lovely. Brother?
Just one trick to be cheerful. Clean mind, clean your mind. Clear your intellect and responsible to care your relations. That is simple formula for cheerful your mind, cheerful mind. Because clean mind is very necessary for getting touching, and clear intellect means we have to be very clear with everyone's relations. He means in Brahman life relation, in Laukik relation, or in professional relation, we have to be very clear, because we are here because of only Baba. That is the clarity we need. And care, we are responsible to recover, responsible to damage control of our relations with each and every soul. So if we take responsibility to care our relations, then we are always cheerful and we are always with Baba's blessings. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It was a very enjoyable time spent with you. Om Shanti.